All right, so we'll say good morning. Our shiur this morning is dedicated by the Gertner family in honor of this evening's marriage of their daughter Shelly Gertner to Bobby Dolitsky. And we wish him mazel tov to the Gertners and emir Hashem in the schus of the Talmud Torah. The couple should be zocha to be able to establish a bayis that is filled with shalom, that is filled with love, that is filled with yirah shamayim, and halavai should give nachas to their parents, to their community, to the Ibono Shalom.
Okay.
So we left off. We actually left off the bottom of Pei Zayin on with Beis. So again, remember, we're locked in the middle of the Machlokes. We're just going to spend a few more lines on it. Then the Gemara is going to transition more back to the, we'll call it the Matan Torah narrative. So the Gemara was discussing the idea that the fundamental Machlokes in Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanon in terms of the timeline of Matan Torah. According to Rabbi Yossi, Rosh Chodesh Sivan is on Sunday. Everybody agrees that they came to Midbar Sinai on Sunday, on Rosh Chodesh, and that the Torah was received on Shabbos. Everything else is a machlokes. According to Rabbi Yossi, so Rosh Chodesh is on Sunday, and in Rabbi Yossi's model, there are 3 days of Prisha, 3 days of separation prior to Matan Torah. According to the Rabbanan, Rosh Chodesh is on Monday, and there are only 2 days of Prisha prior to Matan Torah. So the Gemara is now bringing a different Braisa. The Braisa was by the Mishkan. So the point, without going through the whole Braisa, the Braisa spoke about the 10 things which were firsts in the dedication of the Mishkan, but the important part for our purposes today was that the dedication of the Mishkan was on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and Rosh Chodesh Nisan was a Sunday. It was a Sunday. Now this is year two. This is year two in the desert. Rosh Chodesh Nisan is on a Sunday. So the Gemara says the following. Midresh Yarcha de Nisan. I'm reading 7 lines up from the bottom. Midresh Yarcha de Nisan dahai shasa chad b'shabis de ishtakir b'dala b'shabis. So the Gemara says, from the fact that Rosh Chodesh Nisan in year two was on Sunday, that means that on the previous year it was on a Wednesday. Disanya Achirim Omrim, because the Braisa says that the Achirim say Ein bin Atzeres la Atzeres imin Roshan Roshan ela Dalid Yamim Bilvad. V'mhaisa Shalom Uberes Hey. So the Gemara says because year to year Rosh Chodesh Shavuos to Shavuos only varies by 4 days, and in the event that it's going to be a leap year, then it varies by 5 days. So Rabbi say, watch this. So the Gemara says. The Gemara says the following: Reish Yarcha. So I'm sorry. V'mhaisa Shalom Uberes Hey. Havali Reish Yarcha di Iyar Male Shabsa. Reish Yarcha Denis de Sivan Shapsa. If that's the case, the Gemara then says, then Halacha Lamais in the previous year, Rosh Chodesh Iyar must have been on Erev Shabbos, and Rosh Chodesh Sivan was on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Kasha, bein Rabbi Yossi, bein Rabbanan. The Rabbi Yossi, if you go with this model that Rosh Chodesh Sivan is on Shabbos, then everybody's got a problem. Because remember, according to Rabbi Yossi, Rosh Chodesh Sivan was supposed to be on Sunday. According to Rabbanan, Monday. The Braisa says, according to, the difference about this is, up until now, all of the Braises that we've quoted have been working with calculating a timeline based on Yitzias Mitzrayim. This one's working a little bit backwards. That halacha lemaisa based on the second year, the establishment of the Mishkan. So the Gemara says the following: Kasha bein Rabbi Yossi bein Rabbanon. So the Gemara says not such a kasha. The Rabbi Yossi shiva chaser in Avud. According to Rabbi Yossi, that year there must have been 7 incomplete months. The Rabbanon ches chaser in Avud. When it says incomplete months, it means 7 months of 29 days. According to the Rabbanon, there must have been 8 months ches chaserim, 8 months of 29 days. Fine. And therefore, according to each of their respective Shittos, Rosh Chodesh Sivan would have fallen out according to Rabbi Yossi on Sunday, according to the Rabbanon on Shabbos. Tashma, the Sanya B'Seder Olam. So the Braisa now calls from Seder Olam. Seder Olam is also a collection of Braisa, it's a collection of Midrashim. So the Gemara calls from Seder Olam. Nisan Shebo Yotzu Yisam Mitzrayim. The Nisan that the Jewish people left Egypt. Ba'arba Asar Shachtu Pischeyen. So on the 14th of Nisan, they shechted their Karban Pesach. B'chamisha asar yatsu, and on the 15th they left. V'osa hayom erev Shabbos hayo. Now, according to this braisa, that day was an erev Shabbos. Rabbi said this is different because the braisa that we quoted before had Yitzias time occurring when, occurring on Thursday. This case, this braisa says no, they left on erev Shabbos. Umidresh yarcha denisan erev Shabbos, and from the fact that Rosh Chodesh Nisan was an erev Shabbos. Reish Yarcha the Iyar, Chad B'Shava, then ultimately Rosh Chodesh Iyar would be on a Sunday, V'Sivan B'Trei B'Shava, and Rosh Chodesh Sivan would be on a Tuesday, on a Monday. So the Gemara says, Kashan Rabbi Yossi, I suppose Kashan Rabbi Yossi, Amnach Rabbi Yossi, Hamani Rabbanani. So again, Rabbi Yossi, remember, as we've seen over and over again, whenever there's a Braisa that supports one opinion, the Gemara brings it as a Kasha against the other, and the other opinion simply says what? that reflects the view of the other one, right? What he wants from me. So meaning Rabbi Yossi acknowledges that there are brisos that support the position of the Rabbanon, just as the Rabbanon acknowledged that there are right brisos that support the position of Rabbi Yossi. Tashma, Rabbi Yossi says, Bishini Allah Moshe V'yarad. On the second day, Moshe Rabbeinu went up and he came down. Went up and he came down. Fine. So, Bishini Allah Moshe V'yarad. Bishlishi Allah V'yarad. On the third day, Moshe Rabbeinu went up and came down. This is talking about the days leading up to Matan Torah. Bidalid Yarad V'shuv Lo Allah. On the fourth day, he came down, but he did not go up again. So the Gemara says, one second. So if you look at the Lashon by day number four, it just says that he came down. It doesn't say he went up. So the Gemara says, if he didn't go up, then where did he come down from? Ella berivii olav yarad. The Gemara says, none of the Brisa. We're just kind of writing it shorthand. On the fourth day, he also went up and came down. Bichamishi, on the fifth day, bana mizbeach vehekriv ala karban. On the fifth day, he built mizbechos. Actually, a total of 12 mizbechos, and gave karbanos bishishi lo haya lo pnai. And on the sixth day, he did not have time to go up. Now the Gemara says, "My lav mishum Torah." Now, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu have time to go up to Har Sinai? The pashtus, it must be because it Hakadosh Baruch Hu came down before Moshe Rabbeinu had a chance to sort of go up. When Ribono Shel Olam gave the Torah, so what is that a raya to, or who is that a raya to? That's right, Rabbi Yossi. Right, Rabbi Yossi holds that the Torah was given on Vav Sivan. So the Gemara says, "So my love, mishum Torah, lo mishum Torah Shabbos." No, excuse me, the opposite. That's right to the Rabbanon. So the Gemara says, "My love, mishum Torah, did he not have time to go up because Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the Torah? Lo mishum Torah Shabbos." No, what happens? He had to put up the challenge. Meaning that the Gemara is saying, no, it's not the Pshat that the Ribono Shel Olam came up, it's that the sixth day was Erev Shabbos. And therefore, again, remember, both said this goes in line with what we saw before, that even before Matan Torah, the Jewish people had some semblance of Shabbos. They received Shabbos at Mara. We saw the Machlokas yesterday about what? What was the Machlokas yesterday? Right. What did they get in Mara? Right. What parts... Yesterday. And it's, alright, fine. There was only machlokis. Everybody's funny, right? There was only one machlokis about Shabbos in yesterday's daf. And Gush, thank you, Mike. Michael saved you all, so make sure you give him akaras until after the shiur. So remember, the Gemara said that Aloch Lamaisa, they got Shabbos in Mara. The machlokis was that they get Chumim. Right, remember that was the machlokas yesterday in terms of when did they arrive in Midbar Sinai, or when did they travel to Midbar Sinai? Did they travel to Midbar Sinai on Shabbos? Did they travel to Midbar Sinai on Sunday? So they already got. So whatever they did or they didn't get, they had Shabbos already before Aseret HaDibros. So therefore, the Gemara is saying over here the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu did not have time to go up on day number six, which happened to be Erev Shabbos, also was because of Torah Shabbos. Darash Hahu Galila. So there's a certain person from the Galil who darshin before Rav Chisda. He said the following: Baruch Rachmana Diyohiv Urion Tlisoy. Blessed is God who gave a three-part Torah. Look at Rashi: Urion Tlisoy, Torah Neviim Uksuvim. Torah's divided three parts. Li'am Tlisoy to a nation that has three parts. Goharem Neviim Yisrael. Al Yedei Tlisoy. Through one who is a third, that's Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the third born in his family, right? It was Miriam, Aaron, and Moshe. Biyom Tlisoy, on the third day, Rashi says, Leprisha, right? What does it mean on the third day? After the men having been separated from their wives for 3 days, Biyarcha Tlisoy, on the third day of the, Biyarcha Tlisoy, in the third month. So the Gemara says, whose opinion does this reflect? Kiman, Kirabanon. Fine. So Rabosai, at the end of the day, the Gemara does not resolve the machlokis between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanon in terms of which day was the Torah given. Was it given on Vav Sivan? Was it given on Zayin Sivan? So what's something amazing? Rav Kook, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, brings down a beautiful yisod. Rav Kook says that it's strange that how could it be that Matan Torah, which is hands down, but one of the most important days for us as a people, we don't know the date, such a strange thing. So Rav Kook says it's not so strange, because you can go back the same way, we don't really know where Har Sinai is either. Right? So Rav Kook, what's the pshat? So Rav Kook says something amazing. Rav Kook says that the Torah purposely created some level of ambiguity around the date and the location of Matan Torah. You know why? Because when you have a specific date for something, generally you link that event with the one date. So Pesach, we link Pesach with Pesach. Sukkis is Sukkis. This Matan Torah, Rav Kook says, is something that's supposed to be experienced each and every day. So therefore, it's not linked to any one location. And therefore, yes, there is purposeful date ambiguity, says Rav Kook, in order that you should not link Matan Torah with any one day, in order to understand that Matan Torah, the Sinaitic revelation, is something we're supposed to experience each and every day of our lives. So the Torah says, and I will say, literally translated, it means they camped underneath the mountain. The Tachis are underneath the mountain. So the Gemara says, famous Gemara, Amar Rav Avdimi Bar Chama Bar Chaso, Melame Chakafa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aleim Esahar Ki Gigis. What does this teach us? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally suspended the mountain over them like a gigis. A gigis is like a barrel or a vat. But Amar Lahem, and he said to them, Im Atem Mekhabim Esah Torah Mutav, If you accept the Torah, good. Ve'imlav, and if you don't accept the Torah, Sham Tehei Kvuraschem. So here, right here, will be your burial place. A little bit of kind coercion. Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Mikan Moda Rabba La'oraisa. So Rav Acha Bar Yaakov says, here is our ultimate out. Moda Rabba literally means here is a proclamation or a notification. This is. What that means is, look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Moda Araba Shim Yazminim Ladin Lama Lo Kiyamte Mashi Kibaltem Aleichem Yeshlem Tshuva." So here the Gemara of Acha Bar Yaakov says, "This is our ultimate out after 120." That if HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and calls us to din, summons us to divine judgment, and says, "Nu, why didn't you go ahead and fulfill my Torah?" We have a Moda Rab. We have an excellent answer. What's the excellent answer? Shekibluha Baones. You didn't really ask me if I wanted it, right? You kind of twisted my arm to go ahead and do this. So Rav Acha Bar Yaakov wants to suggest that this is kind of the saving grace of Klal Yisrael. When we don't do exactly what the Ribono Sholem wants, our out, our Moda Rabba, is the fact that you coerced us to take it. Amar Rava, so Rava says, not so fast. Afa Pikein, Hadar Kibluv B'me'achash Verosh. Because subsequently there was a voluntary acceptance of the Torah. When was that? In the days of Achashverosh. Dechsev, Kimu v'kiblu ha'yehudim. So Kimu literally means they upheld, they accepted upon themselves the Jews. What did they do? Kaimu, they were mekayim, they validated, Mashe kiblu kvar, what they had already accepted upon themselves. So apparently in the days of Mordechai and Ezra, in the days of Bimikila, there was a voluntary re-acceptance of the Torah. So, I'm sorry. We're in this voluntarily. Amr Chizkiya Ma'adichsev, what is the meaning of the Pasuk? So he quotes the Pasuk from Tehillim, Mishamayim, Hishmato Din, Eretz Yiryara Vishakata. Literally from the heavens you made justice heard, the earth saw, or the earth was fearful, and was quiet. Im Yireya Lama Shakata, Vim Shakata Lama Yireya. If it was fearful, then why was it quiet? And if it was quiet, then why was it fearful? Ella bitchila yireya ulubasof shaketa. Well, shaketa doesn't just mean quiet. Shaketa means serene. So I don't understand. If the earth was fearful, then it can't be serene. And if it was serene, then it can't be fearful. So the Gemara says, Ella bitchila yireya. In the beginning, the earth was fearful. Ulubasof shaketa. And then it was serene. Velama yireya. Why was the earth fearful in the beginning? So the Gemara says, Kidere Shlokish, to Amare Shlokish, Maidich Siv, what's the meaning of the Pasuk? Vayere Vayvoke Yom Hashishi. Hey Yisera Lamali. So when the story of creation, the Torah says it was evening, it was morning, the sixth day, Hashishi, the sixth, not sixth day, the sixth day. Why do you need the extra hay, which you don't have by any of the other days? So the Gemara says, Melamed, Shehisna Kodesh Baruch Hu Amai Sebereshis. That during creation, HaKodesh Baruch Hu literally created nature, created the world on a condition. What was the condition? If the Jewish people accept the Torah, then you, nature, you, the world, will endure. But if the Jewish people do not accept the Torah, then ani machzir eschem l'tov avahu. I will return you to an astonishingly empty state. So both sides, the drasha is like this. The drasha could be one of two things. Either the drasha could be hey, ha, representing the Chamishei Chumshei Torah, that if Klal Yisrael accepts the Torah, good, or it could be Shishi, mean, according to the Man Damar who holds that Matan Torah occurred on Vav Sivan, so Yom HaShishi, almost all of nature is in suspended animation until when? Until the sixth day, representing the sixth day of Sivan, when we be Mekabel the Torah. But of course, it only works if you hold that Kabbalah Satorah was on Vav and not on Zayin. Fine. Darish Rab Simoy. Rab Simoy made the following drasha. B'sha'a Sheik Dimu Yisrael Na'asa L'Nishma. When we went ahead and we put Na'asa before Nishma, Ba'u Shishim Rivo Shamalachi Ashar Sechol Echad Ve'echad Miyisrael. Kashulo Shnei Ksarim. Echad Kineged Na'asa Ve'en Echad Kineged Nishma. So something amazing happened. Shishim Rivo was literally 60,000. 60,000. So a myriad is 10,000. So 600,000. Right, so 600,000 malachim came. 600,000 malachim came for shishim revoshim malachim shasachol echad ve'echam yisrael came to each member of the Jewish people and kashlo shnei ksarim and tied onto each Jew two crowns, one crown for naaseh, one crown for nishma. Kevan shechatu, when we sinned, however, with the eagle, so what happened? Yardu mea ve'esrim revo malachim chavala. 120,000 angels came down. Angels of destruction came down. Pirkuf. And took away the crowns. It's interesting. When we got the crowns, right, each malach was able to give us two. To take away the crowns, right, there could only be one malach per crown. 120,000 malachim had to come down. Shne'emar, vayisnatzlu b'nei Yisrael es edyom mehar chorev. So it's actually an interesting word of vayisnatzlu. Literally, they were stripped. They were stripped. Although, there's a big machlokas on mafarshim exactly what that word means. But here, clearly, the Gemara is using it as stripped. That Klal Yisrael was stripped at Yom. The Gemara is understanding that's in jewelry. They were stripped of their jewelry at Har Choriv.
1.2 million.
1.2. What's 1.2 million?
120 myriad
is 1.2 million. 1.2 million. Good. Amar Reb Chama Bar Chanina. The Amar Reb Chanina. Right. 600,000 times two. In Choriv Tanu, Choriv they put on, or they were laden with, in Choriv, Choriv is Har Sinai. Choriv they were given the crowns, and Choriv Pirku, and in Choriv the crowns were taken away. Bechoriv Tanu Kida'amon. So in Choriv they were given the crowns, as we just said before. Bechoriv Pirku, and Choriv the crowns were taken away. Dechsev Vayisnatzlu B'nei Yisrael. So what happened to the crowns? Rabbi Yochanan, V'kulan zacha Moshe v'natlan. And Moshe Rabbeinu was given all of the crowns. The Samichle, because right after it says, V'yisnatzlu b'nei Yisrael said yom yahar chorev, so it says, U'moshe yikach es ha'ohel. So again, and Moshe took, so even though it says the ohel, the Gemara is going to say, darshaning that the yikach, what did he take? He took the crowns that were taken from Klal Yisrael. Amar Reish Lakish, Aser HaKadosh Baruch Hu lahachziran lanu. So Reish Lakish said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us back the crown. Shneimar, because the Pasuk says, Upeduye Hashem Yeshuvu, and those who will be redeemed from God will return. Uba'u Tzion Berina, V'simchas Olam Al Rosham. And literally, it's a literal translation, Simchas Olam, the joy of the world will be on their heads. So, the Gemara Darshans, what does that mean? Simcha Shemei Olam Al Rosham. The simcha that they once had on their heads will now once again return to them. Amr Rabbi Lazar, B'shar Sheik Dimu Yisrael Anasa L'Nishma, Yotze Tzabas Kol V'Amra, Yotze Tzabas Kol V'Amra Lohen, Migila Libonai Raz Zeh, Shemalachi Hashar Is Mishtam Shinbo. So when Klal Yisrael said Na'aseh V'Nishma, and Gina B'Amra will say it's the ultimate declaration of faith, because I say Na'aseh V'Nishma means we're going to do without even knowing what it is that we're accepting upon ourselves. We accept upon ourselves whatever it is, and we'll hear the details later on. So when Klal Yisrael said Na'aseh V'Nishma, so a heavenly voice said, Basil came out and said, who revealed to my children this secret that the angels use? What does it mean? Dechsev, because the Pasuk says, Baruch Hu Hashem Alachav Gibore Koach, Osei Dvaro, Lishmoa Bikol Dvaro. So interestingly enough, when it talks about the Malachim are called Osei Dvaro, those who fulfill the word of God, and then only afterwards, what does it say? Lishmoa Bikol Dvaro, to hear the words of God. So what makes Malachim Malachim? They're always ready to do, even before what? Even before they actually hear what it is that the Ribono Sho'olam wants. Bereisha, in the beginning, Osei, Vahadar Lishmoa. So again, also by Malachim, we understand that Yisod, because Malachim, their entire essence is to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. Makes sense. So the Baas Kol came out and said, who taught my children the secret of the Malachim? Right, the Malachim are the ones who are already poised and ready to serve, and then ultimately they'll hear afterwards. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, amazingly enough, my children discovered the same idea. Amar Rabbi Chama b'Rabbi Chanina, Mai de Omer ki tapuach ba'atzei hayar. What's the pshat when Klal Yisrael is compared to an apple on the trees of the forest? Lama nimshu Yisrael tapuach. Why were Klal Yisrael compared to a tapuach? The Rabbi said the normal answer to this, and interestingly enough, is that the Zohar brings down that when Yaakov Avinu comes in, so when he's dressed up as Esav, and Yaakov Avinu says Re'ei Reach Beni Kareach Hasades, look at Rashi Hakadosh Baruch Hu comments and he says Kisade Tepuchim, like an apple orchard. So the Zohar brings down that Gan Eden smells like an apple orchard. So often Klal Yisrael is given this scent of the apple representing their connection to Gan Eden. Here the Gemara says something different. Why is Klal Yisrael compared to the scent of an apple, or to an apple? Ma tapuach ze pirio kodem la'olav. It's interesting, from the apple, normally the way fruit grows is the bud, or the leaves appear first and the fruit afterwards. Apparently when it comes to apples, the fruit is there first and the leaves come afterwards. Af Yisrael hekdimu na'asel nishma. So again, interestingly enough, when it comes to the apple, the order seems to be reversed. The fruit grows first, and then the leaves grow afterwards. So Klal Yisrael also reversed the order. What do we say? We said nasa and then nishma. Beautiful, beautiful idea. I'm sorry? Alright, don't take away from it. So the verse is the following. The truth is, remember that, interestingly enough, the nasa and nishma actually even occurs before, which of course the whole drasha of kafalim harki gigis raises many problems. Specifically, this is actually one of the biggest problems. We already said nasa and nishma. So if you already said nasa and nishma, why did we need the mountains to send it over our head? So I'll just say the quick part Ben Yehuda brings down. He says very beautifully. He says because nasa and nishma was a willing acceptance. There has to be an element of. My time's up. The turkey's done. All right, so interesting enough, there has to be an element of compulsion to Matan Torah. The Ben Yehuda brings this down. He says, because if Torah was only voluntary, whatever you take on voluntary, you could also what? You could also stop. I did it voluntarily. So there has to be an element of compulsion, where the Ribbono Shel Olam says, you're in this, even if you don't want to be in it. It's true. One of the very important motivators of our Yiddishkeit is, the truth is, not our choice. It's very countercultural, because contemporary culture tells us, you should only have to do what you want to do. It's not true. We have to do a lot of things that we don't want to do, and even if we don't want to do them, we still have to do them. It's like Obamacare. Okay. All right. Lahavdu Alafafe Rivi Havdalas. The difference is this system will work. Right? So that's the Ben Yoyada brings down. He says, that's the idea. He says, there has to be an element of compulsion. That's why, again, even though we said Naasev Nishma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu held the mountains overhead so that we create an element of compulsion for us. Fine. So the Gemara goes fine. Hautzduki, Tichazi Lerava, Tikama Ayin Vishmaiso. Listen to this story. There was a particular tzduki who saw Rava, and Rava was engrossed in his learning. Listen to this. The yotza atzba'asa didei tusi karo. He was sitting on his fingers. The kamayit bahu, and he was crushing his fingers. The kamavan atzba'osei dama, and his fingers were bleeding. So apparently, Rava was learning, and he was sitting in a way that he was sitting on top of his fingers, crushing his fingers. They were bleeding, and he didn't even realize. This happens to people in the shir sometimes. It's like so engrossed, right? And he didn't even realize that his fingers were bleeding. So this tzeduki sees him and he says the following: Amalei, ama paziza. So the tzeduki thinks this is ridiculous. He says ama paziza means actually it was just this past parsha. This was the lashon that Yaakov used with Reuven. Pachas kanayim, ama paziza. You impetuous people. Pachas, puzzles, ultimately means people who you don't think about things before you do it. You are people who don't think about things before you do it. Why? So listen to what the Tzaddiki says. Dekadmisu pumaychu ludinaychu. You put your mouth in front of your ears. So he says, Dekadmisu pumaychu ludinaychu. Akanti bepachazu saychu kamaisu. Right? Kayamsu. You're still holding in your impetuousness. Bereisha iboy luchu lemishma. Imatzisu kabilasu ve'ilo lo kabilasu. The Tzaddiki says to Rabbi, you silly people, you should have heard what God was first offering you, and then you could have decided if you were ready to take it or not. I mean, he was saying to Rabbi, look at this Torah. This Torah engulfs you and consumes you to such a point that you don't even realize it's sitting on your fingers and you're bleeding. So you foolish people, you should have never got involved with this thing called Torah. You should have heard first what the offer was. The truth is, the offer on paper, I don't know, I guess you can make the argument if it looks good on paper that you give it to your attorney. Looks good on paper, it doesn't look good on paper. But you should have seen what was God offering and then you make an educated decision. Amalei, Rabbi responded, Amadeis, Amalei, Anan, disaginan bishlei Musa. So Rava said to Tzaddiki, you don't understand us. You don't understand us. We, Sagina Bishli Musa, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. His holchu imo betom leif, kiderach ha'osim me'ava, v'samchu alav shelo yit'anenu bedavar shlanu chalamad bo. He says to Tzaddiki, you don't understand us. We go with HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a complete heart. We go with love, and we believe one thing, and it's such a profound insight. Rava says, we believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never give us anything we can't handle. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is offering us the Torah, we do not need to see what's in it before we accept it. If the Ribbono Shel Olam is making the offer, it means he's confident that we could fulfill it. If he's confident, that's good enough for us. He says, the second Bishul Musa, Ksiv ben Tumas Yisharim Tanchem. Literally, the completeness of the upright ones will lead them. Hanach, but you, he's saying to the Tzaddiki, Inish de Sagon be'alilusa. You are people that go with perverseness. Ksidbuhu v'selef bogdim. He's quoting over here the pasuk from Mishlei. It's two phrases of the same pasuk. V'selef bogdim yishodim. Literally translated, the perverseness of the faithless will destroy them. Amar Rav Shlomo bar Nachmani, Amar Rav Yonasan. My tichsiv, what is the meaning of the pasuk? Livavtani achosikala, livavtani ba'achas me'inecha. It's very beautiful. It's quoting over here from the pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Livavtani achosikala, livavtani literally means, you have captured my heart. You have captured my heart, achosikala, my sister, my kala, livavtani ba'achas me'inayich. You have captured me with one of your eyes. With one of your eyes. So it's a pshat. So it's very beautiful. So of course I will say, we know that Shir HaShirim is a metaphor for the passionate relationship between Klal Yisrael and Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now what's interesting about Shir HaShirim is the characters often switch. Sometimes Klal Yisrael is the woman and Kadosh Baruch Hu is the man. And sometimes Kadosh Baruch Hu is the man and Klal Yisrael is the woman. That's Shir HaShirim is complicated to begin with, but that's also why it's complicated, because it's not always clear which character is which. So listen to this. So here Shlomo HaMelech says, So libavtani achusikalu, libavtani ba'achas meinayich, betchila ba'achas meinayich. In the beginning, so here in this case, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who was caught with one eye. Right? With what's the pshat? Look at Rashi. Betchila, Rashi says, Bekabala shekibaltem achasu. Bekabala, look at Rashi. Bekabala shekibaltem achasu etlechem ulubasov kishkiyamtem shtayim yesh. So in the beginning, we call HaKadosh Baruch Hu with one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes, so to speak. What does that mean? That when we accepted Torah, we caught one of his eyes. But ultimately, when what? When we began to actually perform the precepts of the Torah, then we caught both of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes. V'tchila, again, one more time. V'tchila v'achas meinayich. In the beginning, when we accepted Torah, we caught one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes. L'chishtei asi, but when we performed Torah, b'shtei einayich. Amar Ula. Aluva kala mezana besochu pasa. Aluva is shameless. Shameless is the kala, is the bride who commits adultery underneath her chuppah. Then I will say, what is that a reference to? That is a reference to chet ha'egel. Rashi says, mezana besochu pasa ki she Yisrael ki she amdu b'sinai va'asu es ha'egel. So here, the Ula is comparing the sin of the golden calf to a kala who commits adultery underneath her chuppah. She's like, the kala is literally there forging the marital bonds, and she's with another man. So Klai Yisrael standing there at Har Sinai, which is the chuppah with the Ribono Shel Olam, and what happens? We're building the egel. So the Gemara says the following: Amar Rav Mori Bro Dbas Shmuel Mikra. What's the pasuk that alludes to this? Ad shehamelech b'mesibo nerdi. So here he's quoting the pasuk from Shir Hashirim. Ad shehamelech b'mesibo, while the king is still in his party, nerdi nosan recho. Nerdi means my perfume. My perfume gave its scent. Now the idea is my perfume gave its scent is a reference to what? Is a reference to my perfume giving off its scent to other people, representing adultery. So the king is in his party. The king is having this party for me, and yet I allow my perfume to catch the attention of others. So the Gemara says, Amarav, and amazingly enough, Va'adayin chavivusa higabon. You know what's amazing? That despite the fact that we committed this terrible relationship trespass underneath the chuppah, we still find favor with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. D'chsev nasan velo ksev hisriach. It doesn't say my perfume became putrid. What does it say? It just simply says, my perfume gave out its scent elsewhere. Tana Rabbanan, aluvin ve'inan ovaravos. I say, now this is actually an incredible Gemara. We actually saw, going way, way back to our Amud Yomi days, right? In the days before there was Daf Yomi, we used to have Amud Yomi. So we actually, one of the first Masechtos we did was Gittin. So we actually had this Gemara. So the Gemara is the following. Ulvin ve'inon olvin. Those who are degraded, but do not degrade. Shomin cherpasan ve'inon mashivin. They hear their degradation, but yet they do not respond in kind. So we'll say those who go ahead and are hurt, right, or disparaged by others, but do not respond to those things. Osin me'ava u'smeichin b'yisurin. They serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of love. Smeichin b'yisurin. Smeichin b'yisurin literally means they rejoice in suffering. Now, whenever you see rejoicing and suffering, you don't have to clap your hands and do backflips over. What it means, smeichin, is you, I accept it. I accept my suffering. So the Gemara says, Aleinu Kasev Omer, the Pasuk says about them, Va'ohavav Katzeis HaShemesh B'Gvuraso. And ultimately, again, O'avav, those who he loves, Katzeis HaShemesh B'Gvuraso, will be as strong as the sun when it comes out. Well, it's an amazing thing. That's one of the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels is one of the most incredible midos, is restraint. Sometimes people say things we don't like, sometimes people do things we don't like, and the reflex is to respond. One of the greatest demonstrations of strength is the ability to restrain oneself. And if you think about it, that's divine. Because every single day, day in and day out, we do things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like. And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He exercises restraint. And if he didn't exercise restraint, we'd all be in serious trouble. So if the Ribono Shel Olam exercises restraint, our ability to exercise restraint in our response to things that we don't like is considered to be an emulation of the divine. So the Gemara goes weiter. Amar Rav Yochanan, my dichsiv. What is the meaning? What is the meaning of the pasuk? Hashem yitain. So here is quoting the pasuk now from Tehillim. Hashem yitain. Omer hamevasros tzavarav. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives forth his words. Ultimately, things that mevasra, things that bring forth news. Tzavarav, great hosts. So the Gemara says the following. Kol dibur v'dibur shiotim b'yak gvura. Every word that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said is going now back to the Sinaitic revelation. Everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Nechlak Leshivim Leshonos, ultimately was what came out from the divine mouth and was translated into 70 different tongues. Tana, so we'll say interestingly enough, let's finish this up. So the Gemara says, Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, Uke Patish Yifutzatz Sela, just like a hammer that strikes a stone. Ma patish zeh nechlak lekamani tzotzos. Just like when the stone strikes the rock shatters into many pieces. Af kol dibor v'dibor shatzei pi HaKadosh Baruch Hu nechlak l'shem l'shonos. So to every word that came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ultimately was split off into 70 tongues. Well, it's an interesting yisod. The Marashah develops this idea, which is quite fascinating, which is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah, the Sinaitic revelation was not for Klal Yisrael. All of humanity was affected by it. It's in Shivim Lashon for this idea that lest humanity think that they did not have the opportunity to get the Torah. That's not true either. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made its tenets known to everyone. Amar Rav Chanan bar Papa. Rav Chanan bar Papa said the following. My du'amar, what is the meaning of the pasuk? And here the Gemara is quoting the pasuk from Mishlei. Shimu, Shimu kinigidim adaber umiftach svasai mesharim. Now he's just quoting the first part of the pasuk. Shimu kinigidim adaber. Now literally it means listen, kinigidim. Now nigidim the Gemara is translating as princely things. Hear, listen, and hear the princely things that I will say. Lama nimshlu divrei Torah kinagid. Why are the words of Torah compared to a prince? Lomar lecha ma nogid ze yesh bo lahamis ulahachios. Just like a prince has the ability to kill or to sustain. Af divrei Torah yesh bohem lahamis ulahachios. This is quite amazing. So too the words of Torah have the ability to go ahead and either give one life or take away life. What's the pshat? What does that mean? Hainu do'amri Rava. This is what Rava means when he says lemayiminin ba sama dechaye. Lemayiminin ba means literally those who grasp Torah with their right hand. Torah is the elixir of life. Lemasmeilin ba, for those who grab Torah with their left hand, sama demosa. Ultimately, is the elixir of death. Look at Rashi. What does that mean, left and right? So Rashi says over here, lemayiminin. Rashi says asukim bechol kocham. They engage in Torah with all of their strength. Uchudim ladas soda, and they struggle to understand its secret. Ke'odam hamishtamish biyad yimino shu ikra. Well, so remember, in the words of Chazal, so the right, even the right, so we lefty shouldn't get too offended, but the right is always considered to be strength. So the idea is like this, quite amazing. If you use Torah correctly, then what? Then it could be the ultimate elixir of life. If you abuse Torah, then it becomes the elixir of death. Why is that? Because Torah is a part of the chilek of the Ribono Shel. If you use Torah correctly, right? Now, I will say correctly, we mean many different ways. If you use Torah for your advancement, if you use Torah and people often twist Torah for different agendas or for different things. So if I do that, what I'm doing is I'm twisting the Ribono Shel Olam himself. So if you twist the Ribono Shel Olam yourself, it's not going to end up well. So if you take Torah with your right hand and you use it in the right way, then ultimately it's the elixir of life. But if you abuse Torah to go ahead and do all kinds of crazy things, and to go ahead and satisfy all kinds of different ideological things that a person wants for themselves, then ultimately that's not going to end well. So the Gemara says, Davar Acher, the Gemara says, quotes another drasha, Nigidim, why does it call it princely things? Kol Dibor v'Dibor Shiasim Epiach HaLish Baruch Hu, Koshim Lo Shnei Kisarim. It's very beautiful, because every word that came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth, the Malachim tied two crowns to it. Okay? Amr Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi says the following. My dechsiv, what is the meaning of the pasuk? Now here we're quoting another pasuk from Shir HaShirim. Tsror Hamor. Now Tsror Hamor literally means like a tsror is a bundle. Mor we actually had earlier is myrrh, is a spice. Dodi Li is my beloved to me. Bein Shaddai Yolin. And rests between the Shaddaim. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? Amra Knesses Yisrael Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Jewish people said to Klal Yisrael, said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Af Al Pi Shemeitzar Umeimar Li, even though Meitzar Umeimar, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are distressed and sometimes upset by what we do, Dodi Bein Shaddai Yolin. Nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps us close to Him. He keeps us by His chest. So amazingly enough, what Klal Yisrael is saying is, despite the fact that sometimes we do what you don't want us to do, you always keep us close. Eshkol HaKofer Dodi Li Bekarme Ein Gedi. So here, Eshkol HaKofer literally means a cluster. Eshkol is a cluster. We have that Eshkol HaNavim, the cluster. And Kofer is Henna. Henna. So Eshkol HaKofer Dodi Li is my beloved to me. Bekarme Ein Gedi. Literally in the vineyards or in the orchards of En Gedi, mi shahakol shelo mechaper li. So listen to this. So the Gemara is making a play on words. Eshkol is mi shahakol shelo. He to whom everything belongs. Ribono shel olam hakofer mechaper atones li for me al avon gedi. So we'll say, listen to this drasha over here. Se'eshkol, mishakol shalo, he to whom everything belongs, Ribono Shel Olam, hakofer, who is mechaper, Dodi li, the beloved one is mechaper to me. For what? Bekarme ein gedi. So ein avon gedi for the goat. What's the avon of the goat? The sin of the golden calf. Right, gedi is using his calf. Shekaramti li. See, he's able to be mechaper me for the avon gedi, for the sin of the calf. Shekaramti, that I heaped upon myself. My mashma dahai karmi. How do I know the Akadash in this lashon of karamti, karmi, as lashon of gathering, of heaping? So the Gemara says, Amar Marzutra, Bered Rav Nachman, Kedisnan, because we see this word elsewhere, Kisei Shel Kobes, that the launderer's chair, well, what did they do with the launderer's chair? Shekarmim Alav Esakelim, that they would pile all the clothing on. So we see this lashon of karmim, of it's also a lashon of heaping, a lashon of piling together. Fine. I'm Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. So Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, and he says, "Why did say, what's the meaning of the pasuk?" I was quoting another pasuk from Shira Shirim. Lechayav, his cheeks ka'arugas habosem, are literally like arugas habosem, are like the bundles of sweet smelling spice. So the Gemara says, "Kol dibor v'dibor sheyotzei epiach kodesh baruch hu nesmali ha'olam kulo b'sam." So listen to how beautiful this is. Every word that came out of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth, the world was filled, kulo b'samim. The world was filled with beautiful fragrance. That the breath of the Ribono Shalom is so fragrant that every single word he said filled the universe with fragrance. So the Gemara says, one second. Kevin Shemidiba Rishon Ismale Dibor Shini Lehechon Halach. But one second. So if that's the case, after he said the first word, the world is filled with fragrance. So what good does the second word do? So the Gemara says, "Oh, Hotzi Hakadosh Baruch Hu Aruach Miatzrosav, V'Haya Ma'ave Rishon Rishon." Oh, because you know what happened? Because after every time Hakadosh Baruch Hu spoke a word, the world was filled with fragrance. Then what did he do? He brought out some of the winds, and the winds cleared away the first fragrance to make room for the second fragrance. Shene'emar, because the pasuk says, "Sifsosav Shoshanim Notvos Mor Over." The Gemara says that literally his lips are like Shoshana, could be like roses or flowers. His lips are like flowers. Notfos more are dripping with myrrh, over and constantly replenishing. Al tikri Shoshanim ela Sheshonim. So don't read it as Shoshanim, flowers or roses. Rather Sheshonim, that constantly change. That Ribono Sholem was bringing out the winds in order to take away the first fragrance and bring in the second fragrance. But Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Kol dibor v'dibor shatzei pi HaKadosh Baruch Hu yatzesan nishmasan shal Yisrael. Every single time HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to the Jewish people, their souls left their bodies. Shene emar, because the pasuk says, Nafshi yatzra b'dibro. My soul left when he spoke. But one second, if their souls left their body the first time HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke, then how were they able to mekabel? How were they able to hear anything else that the Ribono Shel Olam said? Listen to this. Listen to how beautiful this is. So how is Tchias HaMesim going to happen? There's going to be a special messianic dew. And this dew is going to rain down on the earth, and that's going to bring about Tchias HaMesim. So the dew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to shower upon the earth for Tchias HaMesim, he showered upon the bodies of our grandparents when their souls left their body, and this brought them back to life. Vechia osam shene'emar, because the pasuk says, again, quoting the pasuk from Tehillim, Geshem Nidavos, Tanif Elokim Nachlascha, V'nila Ata Konanto, V'amra V'shu Ben Levi, called Dibur V'Dibur Shiyotza Mipiach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chazri Yisrael Acharein Yud Beis Mil. So listen to this. Every single time God spoke, the Jewish people were so startled that what did they do? They backed up 12 mil. Lav Davka running away, it's like they got startled. They backed away 12 mil. V'hoyu Malachi HaSharis Medadidin Oson, and the Malachi is Medadidin Oson. They will say, this lashon of medadidin is very beautiful. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, medadidin osan, mesayon osan lehiskarev ma'at ma'at. The malachim helped them come closer little by little. Shayu chaloshim ki isha hamedadida as bina betchilas yilucho. Why is he such a beautiful image? You know what medadid means? I don't know what a good English word for this is. I'll just describe it for you. So medadidin means, you know how like when a little child starts to walk, so what do you have to do? You have to extend your finger, and the child has to hold on. That's medadidin. That Klal Yisrael were so overwhelmed by this experience that they backed up,
And the Malachim, Kiviyachol, took us by the hand, and what happened? And led us back towards the mountain. That's Medadadin. That's Medadadin. Shene'emar, Malachi Tzvakos Yedodun. Yedodun. So we'll say, what's the chilik? So Yedodun, we refer to the Malachim themselves. Yedodun refers to them helping us. I don't know what the right word is, but you understand, I think the image is stronger than any word. Right? This idea of helping them back, help guiding them back towards the mountain. All right. I'm sorry?
It's a good
piyut. It's a good, yeah. When Moshe Rabbeinu ascended to Har Sinai, Amru Malachi Asharis Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So listen to this. We'll say, now this is going to take us into tomorrow's daf as well. So the Malachi Asharis said, so Moshe, can you imagine the scene? Moshe Rabbeinu comes to the top of Har Sinai. The Ribono Shalom is there, Malachi Asharis are there, and what happens? Malachi Asharis said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shalom, Ma liyelod isha beinenu. What is mortal man doing among us? Remember, I will say this draws on the theme that there was always from the beginning of time tension between the Malachi Asharis and man. The Malachim never wanted man to be created because they understood that man would become the apple of the divine eye. They felt that man was flawed, man was imperfect. So now Moshe Rabbeinu was up on the mountain. The Malachim say, what is this mortal man doing among us? Amar lehen lekabel Torah ba. He came to receive the Torah. Amru lefanav, the Malachim said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chenda chamuda genuza she genuza lecha deish shameos yoshim ve'arba doros. This beautiful, this precious thing that has been hidden away in your treasure house for 974 generations. Kodem shenivra olam, this beautiful treasure that pre-existed the world. Atam mevakesh litna lebasar v'dam. Are you out of your divine mind? Like you are ready to go ahead and give this most precious thing to man? To man? Ma enosh ki tizkerenu. What is man that he should even be remembered? Uben adam ki tizkedenu. And man that he should even be remembered. The Malachim said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is man? He's puny, he's nothing. When you're going to give him this Torah, Hashem Adoninu, Hashem our Master, Ma'adir b'shimcha b'chol ha'aretz, how great is your name throughout the entire world, Asher t'nei hodcha ala shamayim. Allow your greatness to remain where? To remain here in the heavens. So listen to this, this is wild. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe, hechzer lahen tshuva. So listen to this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, Nu, what do you have to say? Right? So remember, Moshe Rabbeinu is there representing mankind. So Nu, the Malachim are saying, mankind doesn't deserve the Torah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, Nu, so make the case for mankind, that mankind does deserve it. So it's just, you have to understand, this is an amazing thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not hanging Moshe Rabbeinu out to dry. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Moshe, Nu, so prove it that you really want it. Or prove it that you really need it. Because Malachim are saying, good, why should I take the beautiful, pristine Torah out of the celestial seer and give it to imperfect, fragile, and frail man? So what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? I'd be happy to accept Mesiare Ani Shema Yisrafuni Behevel Shabepihem. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, well, this is not exactly a fair fight. I'm a little bit concerned that what's going to happen, that you're going to go ahead and I'm susceptible to the Malachim. The Malachim literally means they're going to burn me. They're going to incinerate me with Hevel Piyam, just with the breath of their mouth. Baruch says, no worries. Amar lo, echos b'kisei kvodi v'chazal lehen tshuva. Hold on to the kisei akavod. That's safety, right? And you go and you'll give them a tshuva. Give them an answer. Shene'emar, because the pasuk says, quoting over here now, the pasuk from Iov, ma'aches pinei kisei. Parshes alav anano. When you hold on to the kisei hakavod, ultimately the cloud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects you. So watch this. This is going to get good. Va'amar Rabbi Nochum, melamed shepiresh shakai miziv shechinasa va'anano alav. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu a protective barrier, protective cloud protecting him. So let's just read a few more lines. Rabbi Osai, Amar lefanav ribono shel olam. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Malachim, or really he's talking to God. He's making the case to God. He's ribono shel the Torah, sha'atanosheni, the Torah that you're going to give me. So I'll say, this is quite amazing. So Moshe Rabbeinu is already, he's already claiming ownership, right? The Torah that you're going to give me, the Torah that's really present, the Torah that you are giving me, maksibi, what does it say?
Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotseisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. What does the Torah say? I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of Egypt. Amar Lahem, so then he turns to the Malachim and he says, Nu, Le Mitzrayim Yiradetem, did you go down to Egypt? Le Paro Yishtabaretem, were you enslaved by Pharaoh? Torah Lama Tehei Lochem. Why should you get Torah? One more line, Rabbosai. Maksiv, Shub, Maksiv, what does it say in the Torah? Lo Yelecha Elohim Achirim. You can't have any other gods. Bein Amim Atem Shiruyim, Sha'ovdin Avodah Zarah. Do you go ahead and live if the other nations that have to worship Avodah Zarah? Alright, the Rabbosai, we'll stop over here for today. We'll stop in the middle of the argument. But the Rabbosai, you hear the Chatat Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, is see, what drew the Malachim to the Torah was the Kedusha of the Torah, which is beautiful. But says Moshe Rabbeinu to the Malachim, it's not just about the Torah. Torah is there to teach you how to live life. And because you, Malachim, don't have the challenges of existence, therefore, again, you really don't need the Torah. We'll see the rest of the challenges in Yiras Hashem tomorrow. And a shkoach to the Gertners for sponsoring in Mazel Tov.
It was geared to people who were in conflict, who were going to Egypt.
Correct.
That's a language.
100%.